The question today is, what are the advantages of having a home in Bible order? We said, this is part two, by the way, we said, as we dealt yesterday on the air, we talked about the advantages you have if you're in Bible order is household salvation. In other words, you can, your children, you can lay claim on them being saved if you'll instill in them the right things. That is respect and reverence of God or fear of God. And then God will work on them and He'll pour water upon them, upon you that's thirsty, but yet He'll pour water upon your seed and blessings upon your offspring, Isaiah 44:3 said. And you've got that, and we used Cornelius as an example of that. Also the Philippian jailer, where he and his house were saved, and they wasn't saved just because he was. They had the word preached to them, and they were saved. So you can claim household salvation if your home is in Bible order. And oh, what a blessing that would be to have a family complete, a household salvation. Now, the second thing that you can have an advantage in if your home is in Bible order is household surrender. Bible says about Joshua, said this as he was winding down, and of course his ministry, as he was about to, he's about to die and go off the scene, I guess you could say. He was just telling the people he'd led into the children of Israel into Canaan land, and he told them about how they needed to put aside those of God, so the other things, other people. And verse number 15, he said, Joshua 24:15, he said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, that's Jordan, of course, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua said, got a home that's in Bible order, therefore I've got household surrender. And he spoke up as the head of his house, meeting his responsibility. He's a leader of the people, but he was a leader of his family. He spoke for his wife, didn't have a family meeting and asked her what she thought about it, didn't take inventory, didn't ask the five-year-old, do you want to serve the Lord? Because what five-year-old wants to have to go into the house of God and sit still? He didn't ask his nine-year-old, nor his 15-year-old, nor his wife, nor his mother-in-law. He didn't take a vote. Problem with men today, they got a noodle for a backbone. But he stood and said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That's what some men need to stand up today and do and say, we're going to serve the Lord. It's my responsibility. And so be like Joshua. You've got to answer to God one day for it. You realize that? You're responsible, Daddy. You're the one's going to have to answer to God for that. And the Lord's going to hold you responsible. There's a song we sung back years ago talking about, it's for me and my house was the name of the song. And in one verse, one title or one line in that says, knowing nothing else will matter in time. And that's exactly right. You see, what the only thing you can carry to heaven with you is your children, if you please. Because you're going to leave everything else behind. You see, Joshua said, choose you whom you'll serve this day. Who or what you serve, choose to serve does matter. And it does have an effect on your children. Bible says about Achan in Joshua chapter 7. He had chose wrong at Jericho and took the Babylonian garment, wedge of gold and the wedge of silver. And whenever he was found out, the what thing about it, he and his wife and his children were stoned and burnt. Now, I don't know exactly whether they even knew what was going on, but what you do does affect your children. And you need to stand up and take responsibilities, Daddy. Get your home in Bible order. You can have household salvation. You can have household surrender. And you need that. See, we need men as heads of the household with intestinal fortitude, and that's guts. That's backbone. Those who will stand up and take the initiative and be the example and say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Now, if you're not married, you can say, I want that to be in my home. Household surrender, in other words, what we're talking about. And you'll realize something. We'll have not just burdens, but we'll also have blessings. So there's household advantages we have. If we've got a home in order, is household salvation, household surrender, and household security. The Bible said in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. In other words, nobody's really fulfilled that verse completely, as I've used before and spoken of before. But it's the children's responsibility to obey, respect, and honor. But they'll not do it unless we try our best to fulfill Proverbs 22:6. You see what that really says, Proverbs 22:6, it means teach a child early by breaking his will and touching his palate with the things of God. And even while he's growing old, he'll not turn aside from that. That's what that verse actually said in Proverbs 22:6. You see, that's household security. Now, I'll give you a biblical example. We can look in Luke chapter 1, verse number 5 through 7. And this is a time whenever really the world situation was a mess. The children of Israel had come back from Babylonian captivity and still didn't do what God said. And God quit speaking to them in Malachi. And for 400 years, there's no open revelation. From Malachi to Matthew, there's no open revelation. And then we find, but God had a remnant that went through that time. And we find part of that remnant was Zacharias and Elizabeth here in Luke chapter 1, verse number 5 through 7. It says this, and this is, of course, the days just before Jesus was born. But it said, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abi, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no children because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Now you see, here we find their testimony as he gives about Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were both saved. They were, in other words, the Bible said they were righteous there in verse number 6. And they're both surrendered. They were walking in the commandments of God, and he said they were blameless in that. They were both spirit-filled. Because the Bible said in Luke chapter 1, verse 41, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And also we found in verse number 67 about her father. It said his father, meaning John the Baptist's father, or Elizabeth's husband, Father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. So we see their testimony. They were both saved. They were both surrendered. They were both spirit-filled. And yet they had a trial. Not only did they have a testimony, but they had a trial. They both suffered. How do I know that? Well, you see, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. In other words, God's going to test your faith. In fact, if you're not saved and you claim faith, it's good that your faith is tested because you realize something. That'll just help you see what you don't have, let you know what you don't have. So therefore, their faith was tested. In fact, they had a twofold trial. They didn't have any children, and they had no chance to have any children because the Bible says they were well stricken in years. Now, in these days of the ERA movement, they think today that it was a blessing that Elizabeth didn't have any children. But I want to tell you what, it was a reproach to Elizabeth, and it was a reproach to Zacharias because in those days it was a reproach not to have any children. So we see their testimony, their trial, and their twilight years. They both saw. They saw a baby in their old age. In other words, in their olden days, God gave them a son, named him John. And, of course, the story about that was when Gabriel came on the scene, announced to them they was going to have a son, Zacharias, with a little unbelief in his heart at that time, and God shut his mouth for 9 months. And Elizabeth, 9 months later, gave birth to a son, and Zacharias didn't talk for 9 months, but he had to write down his name will be called John because that's what the angel told him they was going to name him. And when he wrote it down, he burst loose, his tongue began to burst loose so that he could praise the Lord. So they saw the baby in their old age, and they named that boy John. Now, you know what happened to John? Daddy and Mama was saved. Daddy and Mama was surrendered. Daddy and Mama was spirit-filled. They suffered and they saw their son. You know what? When John came along, you know he was saved. I don't know where he was saved. I know the Bible says he's filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, but yet you realize in those days the Holy Spirit came upon a person for a ministry. John had to come to the point of knowledge of accountability just like any other child, but he was saved at that point. He was also surrendered. He went out in the backside of the desert and was taught by God, and he was spirit-filled, and he also suffered, and he also saw the Messiah come after John the Baptist had baptized Jesus, or at least Jesus came to him for baptism, and that's his cousin. And he grew up with Jesus, and he knew, of course, that Jesus was a good fellow. And he said to him, when Jesus come to be baptized of me, he said, I must needs be baptized by you. And he knew that Jesus was a good man, something different about him. He was altogether different. Jesus never committed one sin, never did anything wrong. That's unusual for a boy, or a girl, or anybody else, any human being. But Jesus didn't do that. And so as a result, why he said, I must needs be baptized of you. But Jesus said, no, you must be need to baptize me but to fulfill all righteousness. You see, John was sent to be a forerunner of Jesus. He was sent to baptize and be a forerunner of Jesus. And when Jesus was baptized and came up out of the water, the Spirit lit up on him like a dove, and that was the sign that John had been told by God he would be the Messiah. Now, when John baptized him, he didn't know he was the Messiah. But when Jesus came up and the Spirit lit upon him like a dove, he knew that Jesus was the Messiah. And after Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, he came back by and John was baptizing. And John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." You see, he saw him and said, "Look yonder, he's the one." What a blessing for dad and mom to be saved, to be surrendered and Spirit-filled. And then their children can come along and watch mom and dad. And mom and dad can watch them, God save them. And in other words, they bring them, and it's going to bring, God's Holy Spirit's got to do that work. He's got to bring them to the end of themselves. He's got to work the Holy Ghost reproval or Holy Ghost conviction. And then after they bring to a place that repentance is granted and faith is produced, they can obey the gospel by repenting and believing. And then they'll be fully, they can come to the place that they step up and follow in their dad's footsteps. The men can, and the wife can follow in mama's footsteps and be submissive to her husband. And the husband can be fully surrendered and says, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord," and be Spirit-filled. What a blessing. Even though there's burdens to bring up our children, I want to tell you there's blessings that overshadows the burdens involved in our homes. If we'll just get our homes in Bible order, that means we're going to have to obey the light we have. Walk in to meet our obligations as husbands and wives. Meet our obligations to our children in the area of discipline. And if we'll do that, then we can have the blessing, the advantage of household salvation, household surrender, and household security. And 3 John says this in verse number 4. 3 John doesn't have any chapter, just be verse 4. There John said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Oh, how blessed that would be to see your children come to the place that they'll yield to the tug of the Holy Ghost in their heart and be saved and be surrendered and walk in the truth of God and have that security. Thank the Lord for our homes. Thank the Lord for Bible order. May God help us to get our homes in Bible order where we can have these advantages: household salvation, household surrender, and household security. This is Edgar Lee Pascoe, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.